you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. We're continuing our study of Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. We're in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. We looked previously at Paul's digression from his opening statement. He starts out chapter 3 by saying, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles," and then he digresses. He goes off and gives us a wonderful parenthetical. Well, now beginning in verse 14, he goes back to that opening phrase at the start of the chapter, and this is God's word. "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is a powerful prayer. What would you pray if you were a prisoner? Paul was a prisoner. He starts out this chapter talking about the fact that he's a prisoner. He's going to ask the people later to pray for him, but not that he gets out of jail, but that he's faithful in his proclamation of the gospel, even if he remains in chains. So what does he pray for them? Well, he prays that they won't get in jail. No. He prays that they will see God's love for them, that God will reveal to them more and more and more how powerfully he loves them and is at work within them. He says, "I kneel before the Father." The normal posture for Middle Eastern people in this era when they prayed was standing. But sometimes they would kneel. They would do it if it was a prayer of great emotion. They might drop to their knees. We know that in the Old Testament, Elijah knelt in prayer often. We know that our Lord Jesus knelt in prayer. But the normal posture was standing. If you went into the presence of someone, you arrived in their presence, they might ask you to stand, but you would begin, if they were greater than you were, especially if they were a ruler, someone of high position, you would fall on your knees before them. It is a very appropriate, reflexive posture, if you will. It comes innately, that we do when we are desperate, that we do when we are surrendering. Doesn't mean you always have to kneel in prayer, but it's a good thing to do from time to time. The Apostle Paul kneels before the Father. And he uses a phrase here that's just wonderful. He says, I kneel before the Father from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. You should see all the articles and commentaries for almost 2,000 years exploring that passage. What does he mean there? From whom the entire family derives its name. Could be translated from whom fatherhood derives its name. In the Greek, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but I do know how to research things. In the Greek, the word for father and is the same word from which the word for family comes, okay? Because the family is patriarchal. It is the offspring of the father, okay? So Paul, on the one hand, was making a play on words here. He's saying that family gets its name from the father. And since he was writing in Greek, that would have been very easy for the folks who got his letter to follow that, okay? But Paul goes on and makes it clear that that's not all he's doing. He's not just making a play on words. Because what he says is something else that was very well known to these people, and that is that a father, as an exercise in dominion, names his offspring. Okay? The father names his children. He gives them their name, and that name that he gives them is their name. Okay? The kids don't get a vote. They're named by their father. Well, doesn't the mother get a say-so in this? Well, it depends on the marriage. But the bottom line is the father gives the name. That goes all the way back to creation. Adam was put in charge as a vice regent of God to have dominion, and the first thing, before he even got a wife, the first thing that he did to exercise dominion is God paraded all the different kinds of animals in front of him, and he named them. And whatever he named them, the Bible says, that was its name. And when God caused him to fall into a deep sleep and took something from his side and made a wife for him, he looked at her and he said, hey, what's your name? No, that's not what happened. He named her. Whoa, man. Good name. Okay, that's not really the way it is in the original language, but I like it that way. It does say he called her by her name. He declared it, because the idea of headship was built into the design of creation as a reflection of the nature of the universe. We have a heavenly Father who loves us. And Paul writes not some startling thing. You mean God is like a father? Jesus, throughout his teaching, was telling people and showing people who God is. And he was telling them that God is our Father. And when he taught us to pray, he said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be hallowed. God wants us to see him as our Father. And the job of every father on earth is to point people to him. My kids don't depend on me. They depend on God because they're adults now. When they were little, I taught them that they could depend on him. That was the goal. Our job is to work ourselves out of a job by teaching them, look to him, look to him, look to him. I'm so grateful. My wife has shared this on various occasions when we do parenting seminars and so forth. My wife has shared how when we were newlyweds and having to make all kinds of decisions and so forth, we would call my parents and I would tell them what was going on and ask them to pray, and my mom would immediately want to tell us what to do, okay? Mom was just that kind of personality. She was very wonderful, very intelligent, very hardworking, very godly, and she immediately could see what she believed we ought to do, okay? And she would start to say what we ought to do, and my dad would jump in and say, now, Vi, her name was Violet, Vi, Jim needs to pray about it and do whatever the Lord tells him. And my wife loved that, okay? Now, I mean, she loved my mom, but she really loved the fact that my dad wanted me to be a man. Depend on him. Look to him. Do whatever he tells you. Let me tell you something. Paul is writing from prison to a group of people whom he loves, and he says, I want you to know how much the Father loves you. I want you to know how dearly loved you are. The Father gives name not only to the concept of family, the reason God structured family with a father and a mother and then children, the reason God structured it that way was to show us something of his nature. The Father from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. God names everything and he has dominion over everything. He rules over the universe. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power. That is verse 16. Again in verse 18, that you may have power together with all the saints. And he goes on in verse 20 to say, according to his power. Years ago, I heard a story about a man who went into a hardware store and he saw a sign that said, with this saw, you can cut 10 times as much wood as with a non-power saw. And he thought, man, I got to get me one of those. So he bought it and he took it back up into the hills where he lived. And he came back a week later just fuming. And he set it down on the counter and he said, I want my money back. This is a piece of junk. He said, I've been wearing myself out with this. And he says, I can't cut near as much wood with this as I could with my old crosscut saw. I want my money back. And the store owner said, well, I'm so sorry. Let me see what the matter is. And he pulled the cord and the engine started up and the man jumped back and said, what's that noise? That's a silly joke. But if you tried to use a chainsaw with it off, you could hardly cut wood, could you? And a lot of people try and live the Christian life in their own power. And they wonder why it doesn't work. The power of God in us changes everything. His power, which raised Christ Jesus from the dead, is at work in those who believe. And so, we discover that power as we understand that he is our Father and he loves us more than we can imagine. If I'm trying to earn God's love, I'm going to wear out. Because I'm going to keep messing up. How many of y'all have messed up in the last week? Okay? I mean, if it was up to us, I have good days and I have bad days. I have some parts of the day that are better than others. But I'll tell you something. I'm not trying to earn God's love. I'm trying to thank him for loving me. This epistle, remember, starts out by describing what has happened to us, and it says we were dead in trespasses and sins, and God made us alive in Christ Jesus. What the Father has done for us is to rescue us from the kingdom of darkness and make us part of the kingdom of his dear Son. When the Father looks at me, he sees me robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He sees me not on the basis of my performance, he sees me on the basis of Jesus' perfection. So no wonder he's impressed. No wonder when he looks at me, he actually delights in me. But it's not based on what a splendid guy I am. It's based on the perfection and righteousness of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Do you understand what good news that is? Wow. And he doesn't just look at me from the outside. He comes and lives inside. What is going on here, according to God, is that he is living in us, and that's where the power comes from. The reason I'm able to do the right thing is not because it's just, you know, that's my family legacy, generations of good people doing the right thing. No, the reason I'm able to do the right thing is because the risen Lord has taken up residence in me, and he is Lord, and he's changing me from the inside out. And one day I'm going to be like him. Consider, we read in 1 John chapter 3, consider the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see him, we'll be like him. God has already decided how you're going to turn out. And you're going to turn out like Jesus. If you are in Christ, he is in you, and he is working miracles on the inside.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone, to the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Paul says, and this is God speaking through him, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. In other words, no matter how much you know of the love of God, there's more. There's more. He loves you more than you can imagine. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God wants to fill you. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more. It's beyond anything you could reach. It's beyond anything you could measure. Immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. We can't imagine how wonderful this is. According to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Now, when I was a little kid, my oldest brother, who went on to become a great physician, gave me a book on human anatomy. And I was fascinated by all the systems, by how much work the heart does every day, just constant. You know, when was the last time your heart got a break? For me, it was 2016. They stopped it for a while they worked on it. But, you know, I mean, your heart doesn't get a break. It just keeps working all the time. It's a muscle, and it's constantly going, sometimes faster than others, but it never stops. And all the blood circulating out into the little capillaries and working its way back and then being oxygenated by the lungs. I mean, it's absolutely wonderful. It is so cool. Just amazing. But one of the things I really loved in the circulatory system was the red blood cells bringing oxygen to everything, keeping us alive, and the white blood cells ready to fight any invaders, ready to take on infection and defeat it. Fantastic. The more I learned about the human body, the more I worshiped the creator, the designer of this fabulous machine. You know, I mean, it's one thing when you're a little baby lying in your crib and you're looking at your hands and discovering that you can make your hands do that, okay, at will. But then when you find out about the stuff on the inside, all that stuff you can't see that's always at work, that's even better. It's absolutely amazing. Well, let me tell you something. What Paul has just described in this passage, as he's praying for these folks, is he wants them to know what's going on inside. He wants them to understand. And he's writing from prison, I remind you again. He says, you need to know what's going on the inside. Don't look at your circumstances and say, oh, look at that. I don't like that. Do you understand that stuff is all going away? What God is doing inside of you is forever. It's forever. God is at work in you who are his, and he's going to make you like Jesus for his glory forever. How can we not rejoice when we realize that God loves us more than we can imagine? That's what he says, I want you to know. The love God has for you is so high and wide and deep, it's beyond comprehension. I want you to know it, he says. It's not unknowable, it's just unfathomable. You can never say, okay, I got it. No, he's got you. And he's at work. And his plan for you is more wonderful than you can comprehend. If God walked in the door back there, he's already here, by the way, but if he walked in physically in the back of the room and started coming down and he said, I have something to say to you, what would you expect to hear? You know what my kids expect to hear when I say, I want to tell you something. You know what it is? I love you. You know what God is telling you this morning? I love you. I love you. Don't let the devil lie to you and say, oh no, you're such a disappointment. God loves us. Does that mean God approves of sin? No. God paid for our sin at the cross of Calvary. And now he says, come and trust in my love. Yield your life to me. Be filled with my spirit, and I will live my life through you. Oh, dear people, that is good news.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. I That's pastorwood.org.